made aware this morning in Auckland of the anonymous letter that was circulated around the press gallery this morning. When confronted, Chris Carter admitted that he was responsible for the writing and the circulation of that letter. A short time ago, the Labour caucus met and a unanimous decision was taken to suspend him from the caucus. As of now, Chris Carter is no longer a member of the Labour Party caucus. As to his membership of the Labour Party, that is a decision that will be taken by the New Zealand Council of the Labour Party shortly. The content of the letter, while not true, was designed to damage the party that I lead. It was stupid, it was disloyal. His actions breached caucus rules and were calculated to damage the party and the leadership. That is unacceptable to me and to my caucus. Chris Carter has no future in the Labour Party that I lead. My decision to suspend Chris Carter comes just weeks after I offered him the chance to rehabilitate himself, giving him the portfolio of conservation. I gave Mr. Carter the chance to work himself back into the fold. I gave him the chance to work in portfolios that are important to us and were important to him. There are no more chances. Chris Carter's future in the Labour caucus has come to an end.
What do you do about the fact that he is, I think, the only nomination for the TRPC seat? How do you get rid of the guy?
The Labour Party will meet Saturday week. It will decide his future as a member of the Labour Party, and as a consequence of that, I expect nominations for the Te Ato Tū electorate to be reopened.
So you can deselect him essentially by, if he was expelled from the party, then he's no longer eligible for Te Ato Tū, and you get something else.
You have to be a member of the Labour Party in order to be a candidate for it. The Labour Party values loyalty, and I think the Labour Party will be hugely concerned with the actions that he has taken.
What did you do when you asked him why he did it?
I can't pretend to understand why Chris Carter acted in the way that he did, but those actions were totally unacceptable.
Did you not ask
And they were stupid.
Did you not ask him why he did it? Did you ask him why did you do this?
Well, I confronted Mr. Carter with my view that it was he who circulated the letter. He first denied it, and then when pushed, he admitted it.
But he didn't say why he'd done it.
I think it will be as a consequence of the actions that were taken against him earlier, because of his excessive travel, and because of the difficulties he's put himself into around that.
He was trying to affect your leadership. He was trying to bring you down.
Well, he might have been trying to do that, but the decision to suspend him was unanimous, so that shows you exactly where caucus stands on those issues.
And what led you to him in the first place? Why did you ask him?
I recognise the handwriting on the envelope.
Somebody
suggested that there was that as a former Minister of Police we were following all leads. That was one of the leads.
Was there any truth to the rumour that someone was called on security footage or staff over the years?
I don't think there is any security footage in the area where the letters were delivered to. But it's also true that Mr. Carter has seen the evidence. This was an action of an individual on his own. He got no support and no support.
Where is Mr. Carter now?
I don't know. He's no longer my responsibility.
Is he in Wellington?
I don't know.
Was your first thought that
this must be Chris? I don't jump to conclusions on those things. I thought that it may have been, but I wasn't prepared to make any allegation until there was evidence. It was clearly evident from the handwriting on the envelope that it was Mr. Carter's handwriting, and that he was also seen down at the messenger's room this morning at about that time.
Is there any truth, Mr. Goff, that there's some unhappiness with your position, which is one, I think, of being fairly relaxed about the ability of workers to catch up before the week's leave? Do you have any union rider elements of the Labour Party country saying they're not happy about this?
No. The Labour Party believes that workers should have 4 weeks' holiday, and we don't support the government's actions. But on a list of seriousness of the anti-worker legislation that the government is putting forward, that is somewhere down the list of priorities.
Do you think there's some sort of a balance in there that needs to occur, though, between what the Labour Party and the unions believe and what a lot of workers may want, which is the opportunity? They may take that opportunity, they'll take the cash.
Well, it's very understandable that when workers have had no wage rises and they're faced with 6% inflation, that they may be forced into making that choice. Labour's position would be to have a situation where workers can get a decent living wage and don't have to sacrifice a week of the extra week of the holidays that the Labour government...
What about George Hawkins, the talk there that he's facing a challenge and might force a by-election? Is there anything in that?
Well, the way that it's stated is that he has been challenged. Mr. Hawkins, as far as I understand, is the only nomination in for his electorate.
Then we asked him today if he was going to put, for the by-election, he wouldn't rule it out and said that he'd talk about it in the new year.
I think he was talking in the new year 2012.
Isn't it New Year's Day?
Yeah.
But it, yeah.
Did you know when the election was?
no, do you? No, but look, Mr. Hawkins has been a long time server of the Labour Party. He served as a minister, he served as a member of parliament. He's a very good friend. He is the only nomination in, but all of us, until the time the nominations close, are open to challenge by anybody. That's part of our constitution.
Labour doesn't support getting cash payouts for the fourth week, though, does it? So why did you say something different?
No, I said that that's way down the list of priorities in terms of the anti-worker legislation that's before Parliament.
There's a difference between it being a priority, but you've said that you're okay with it, but isn't the policy that
I've said that I understand why workers might make that choice when they're finding it hard to meet the bills at the end of the week.
So
people are effectively being forced into making that choice, and that's a bad position.
So are we facing a by-election in Te Apiti?
Well, that's up to Mr. Carter. The Labour Party is ready for a by-election and we'd win a by-election.
But if you move to suspend him from the party, he can presumably still stay, can't he, as an MP?
He can still stay as a member of parliament without Labour's mandate. He is elected from his electorate and he is not compelled to resign. He could stay at the seat until the next election. But if he chooses a by-election, we will fight it and we will win it.
When you guys joined, did he accept that he was going to be suspended? Did he realise...
I told him that would be the consequences of his action. He was invited to attend the Labour caucus. He declined.
What was your perception of whether he will stay on in that seat or whether he's going to... You must have discussed it when you'd be pretty...
The discussion didn't go there. The discussion went as far as my telling him that his actions were utterly unacceptable and that I would be moving at the caucus to suspend him from the Labour Party caucus. I then invited him, as was fair, to come to the caucus and to present his point of view. He declined to do so.
Are you absolutely 100% sure that he had no backing from any other MP?
Well, I can tell you that the vote in this room on his suspension was unanimous.
When did you have that? Sorry, I might have missed
that. That was shortly before this press conference.
Phil Goff, who saw Chris Carter at the messenger's room this morning?
That's not important. He was seen there, and his handwriting was the handwriting on the letter sent to all of you.
And are you aware of any member of the Engineering, Printing and Manufacturing Union who might challenge George Hawkins and Manuel Wheeler?
There is no challenge at this point. There is
even
no
someone who might want to. Someone
well, there's a chance for every one of us that other people can put their name forward, and from time to time, that does happen in the Labour caucus.
And have you heard of someone from the Engineers Union wanting to do that before you saw...
Look, I can't comment on that sort of rumour. George Hawkins is the only nominee, and George will make his own decision about his future in the Labour Party.
So it sounds to me as if the Engineering, Printing and Manufacturing Union should make sense about moving on George Hawkins in Manufacturing.
Well, I think that would just be speculation.
How damaging or destabilising is it to have this sort of thing go on within your caucus? You can deny that there's any support for him, but no matter, you've got one of your own talking about the future.
as you're aware. We confronted that problem today. I acted on it. I've resolved it.
Do you think that shows that in fact you should have taken a firmer line, perhaps, with Mr. Carter earlier?
No, I decided earlier to be fair to Mr. Carter and give him a chance. There are no further chances.
But nevertheless, I mean, he's been on the outer, he's been unpopular among Labour members for more than a year now. I think it was last year that his first revelations of his spending came out, and he was pretty heavily panned privately around the place when he appears. Do you think you should have...
I acted against Mr. Carter earlier after the travel incident arose, but I was fair to him. I gave him a chance. There are no further chances, and I've taken the action that I have.
And in your view, what he's done today was some sort of vindictive payback for what he
did? I've got no idea why Mr. Carter acted in the way that he did. It was stupid, it didn't make sense, and it was distorted.
It's almost so stupid that it begs the question he was actually inviting himself to be sacked. I mean, remarkable that he would allow his own handwriting to be anyway.
I think if he really wanted to be sacked, he would have signed the letter.
How does it feel to you, for you personally, given that you've worked with Mr. Carter for such a long time?
Oh, I'm disappointed, but I give loyalty, and I expect loyalty, and I don't expect that sort of action in all of my calls. Let me repeat, because a couple of you have asked the question, the decision, moved by myself to suspend Mr. Carter, was unanimous. No one spoke in favour, and no one voted against the resolution that I've moved. Spoke in favour of Mr. Carter, and against the resolution.
Coming back to the question of how stupid this was, given that his own handwriting was on it, do you think there's any question over the state of mind of Mr. Carter?
I'm not a psychiatrist, I can't comment on that.
Mr. Goff, the discuss today, do you foresee any problems with the fact that Peter Kaiser is the chair of the LEC in Te Atu? I mean, what sort of machinations need to be done now to figure out the internal things?
Well, I've got huge respect for Mr. Kaiser. He's been a friend for a very long time.
Because his partner's just been ousted from the party and you need to get a new candidate there.
Well, we have procedures within the Labour Party. It's a democratic organisation. We'll follow those procedures and we will be selecting a new candidate for Te Atu, dependent on, of course, the decision of the New Zealand Council.
So at this stage, Peter Kaiser is going to be the front man for this new selection?
Well, That may well be the case. The person that has offended against the rules of the Labour Caucus is not Mr. Kaiser, it's Mr. Carter.
So what happens to now in terms of his office space? Does he stay here? Does he stay in
school? We haven't went through those details yet, but I would expect that you would see a change of seating in the House.
And the portfolios as well, any thoughts?
Well, I've got 41 other volunteers for the portfolios that have been vacated. I don't think I'll have any trouble filling them.
There was a suggestion in that letter this morning that Labour had to run a by-election in Manurewa, where you wouldn't have the cash to do it.
We've got the cash. We fought a by-election in Mount Albert last year. Some of you suggested we might not win it. We won it by 63% to 17%. We'd be setting up to win any by-election that the Labour Party might need to contend between now and the election.
Have you got a preference over whether or not you want him now to just go all together and make a clean break, which would mean
the decision rests with him, then that's where it stands.
Through
and we will fight a by-election if there is a by-election. Otherwise, we will win the seat for Labour in 2011.
When's the New Zealand Council meeting?
Saturday week. Okay, thank you very much.